The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
And up to date is the word. You are welcome to The Hard Shoulder. My name is Emmett Oliver. We have big breaking political news from the UK. We have two resignations. Rishi Sunak, Chancellor of the Exchequer, once upon a time a key lieutenant of Prime Minister Johnson, seemingly not anymore. We've also a resignation from Sajid Javid, who is the Health and Social Care Secretary. These are two, to use that old horrible old cliche, two big beasts of the British Cabinet, both announcing their resignations. It seems they certainly told Mr. Johnson directly. They've been on Twitter as well, where they've been retailing the resignations. So what happens next? We're only getting news of this now. It's all very much in the breaking news category. Mr. Johnson had seemed to put out the fire earlier. He gave a statement about half an hour ago, essentially saying he apologised for the appointment of this man, Mr. Chris Pincher. But even before he was finished kind of delivering his message, his legs were pulled out from underneath him by these two extraordinarily unprecedented resignations. They're unprecedented for quite some time, but obviously back in the era of Margaret Thatcher, when you lose a chancellor, it usually means political poison for the Prime Minister in Downing Street because of the seniority and the symbolism of that particular person. We believe we have Sheila Fogarty, who is a well-known broadcaster in the UK. She's with LBC these days, and I'm hoping she'll be able to join us. Good afternoon to you, Sheila.
Hello, Emmett. I can join you. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Now, I know this is all very dynamic stuff. We just have two resignations, some brief sort of cursory outline of what they're not happy about. I'm going to ask you that the tough question right at the start. Just give me the main implications that occur to you straight away from these two really unprecedented moves.
I think there's only one implication, which is that it means the end of the Johnson government and it means that he can't survive it. I mean, we've been asking ourselves time and time and time again what it would take for the final blow to be dealt to a man who, when all is said and done, I think will be judged to have been a prime minister for one thing and one thing only, and that was to get Brexit over the line. I know, a sensitive subject in the island.
Please,
of Ireland.
Don't bring that word up.
I know. But that's what he was for. The whole party knew when they made him leader, and by that I mean the party membership, I mean the parliamentary party as well, they knew the man that they put into power. And I actually think that that will play badly for them in the next general election, because people, when they're in the thick of the cost of living crisis, when they have that collapse, which we're just seeing the beginning of now, of the Johnson government to look back on, they will realise that he was a man who should never have really been in that seat in the first place.
Now, do you think, when you say you think he's gone, do you think he's gone, but he'll try and appoint someone else in the meantime? In other words, do you think this will go over a few days? Or are you expecting to hear something like what kind of, and I know it's an impossible question to answer, this is all in the hunch category, but please help me out.
Well, one of Boris Johnson's closest allies has told Nicholas Watts of the Newsnight programme that, quotes, "It will be all over by this time tomorrow. No prime minister can survive the resignation of two senior cabinet ministers like this." And let's not forget, one is the current chancellor, one is the former chancellor, Sajid Javid, who, of course, left the role as chancellor because he refused to take the conditions of that job that Rishi Sunak was prepared to take, a more junior MP, a more junior minister at the time. So I think it's clear, to my mind, he'll be gone by tomorrow. The question of who will replace him is a really important one, obviously, and a really good one, because at the moment we have the kind of the courtesy title of Deputy Prime Minister in the form of Dominic Raab. But it's a big question as to whether Raab would want to throw his own hat into the ring to be the next Conservative leader. I think that would be very, very, very ambitious of him if he tried to do it. But if he didn't wish to do it, and I think he's so tainted, personally, I think he's so tainted now by his close association with Boris Johnson.
And then the conventional wisdom on leadership was sort of Rishi Sunak was a leading contender, but then his finances sort of floated to the surface, and then the conventional wisdom became less conventional, and they essentially seemed to say, oh, well, he's kind of damaged, he's sort of fallen back. And Liz Truss sort of seemed to be then installed as the favourite. So are she still in the mix ahead of these two individuals, do you think?
So the polls tell us, but God help us, I'm sure that's not, I can't believe that will happen. But then I couldn't believe all kinds of things would happen, and they've happened, so who knows. But I think I was speaking to Andrew Marr today, the political broadcaster Andrew Marr, and he believes that Rishi Sunak has sort of, you know, penance is too dramatic a word for it, but has done his penance, has taken what really for him was the first big political bruising, which was his tax affairs and his family's tax affairs becoming problematic for him. I think he's still a contender, Rishi Sunak. I think Sajid Javid could be a contender. I mean, he was the first to You know, you talked about the apology, the timing of Sajid Javid's resignation followed by Rishi Sunak's within half an hour of that apology. It was designed, I think, the timing of that to completely undercut that apology. It was an apology too far because he's never meant any of them. So I think either of those men could be in the mix. You could be talking about Ben Wallace, who is impressed in defence and over Ukraine. Zahid, apologies, I've forgotten his name.
The man who was the vaccines minister.
He's our education minister. Apologies to him. Nadeem Zahawi, it's come to me. Long day broadcasting.
I know, he's clearly a hot favourite from your point of view.
Your brain goes to gibberish. I think he could be a strong contender. On my programme today, actually, on LBC, people were talking about Andrea Leadsom, who was a contender in a previous Tory.
But hang on a second. Like, we're told again, this damn conventional wisdom, but we're told that the Tory party of today, the 2022 edition or variant, that it's very much controlled by the ERG. They call the shots, we're told, and you get nowhere unless they kind of give their blessing to you. A, do you think that's true? And B, if they are so influential, do they have one of these candidates that they'd have a special kind of consideration for, or is it all much of a muchness?
You're right. I don't think they always have the whip hand, but I think they clearly have a strong hand. There's a fantastic quote from Ken Clark. He said to Theresa May when she was absolutely feeding that beast of the ERG when she was making her early, sorry to do it again, Emma, the early Brexit announcements. But he told me on air that he had said to Theresa May, listen, the ERG are like a collection of crocodiles surrounding your boat. You can throw them as many donuts as you like, but when you run out of donuts, they'll eat you.
Well, that seems to be what's happened here, doesn't it?
It does seem to be what's happened here, yes. So we'll see. I mean, there's no doubt that all of the candidates that I've just mentioned, whenever leadership is mentioned or whenever there's a whiff of it, they start to say things that please the ERG. So clearly they know that's an important wing of the party to bring on board. But we'll see. We'll see how everything shakes down in the next 48 hours. I think there's always room for, you know, there is a lot of conventional wisdom, you're right, but there's always room for surprises. And I have to say, since 2016, I think certainly in this country, you can tell me whether it feels the same in Ireland, certainly in America, I think political norms are just being thrown out of the window left, right and centre. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean he has been an incredible survivor. I mean, Partygate, most people kind of thought he was gone, and he kind of somehow kind of crawled through that. There's been plenty of others. We had the peregrination of Parliament, we've had all sorts of the whole Dominic Cummings business. I mean, is there the Owen Paterson thing? I mean, is there even a 5% chance that he somehow clings on for another few weeks? I mean, is that the kind of unexpected development that he still manages to cling and cling and cling?
No, absolutely not. He's collapsing. It is collapsing before our eyes as you and I speak. It's over.
Yeah, I mean, you're being very definitive, so I'll definitely have to have you on again if it doesn't work. But yeah, I think
you can call me tomorrow and tell me
Teflon,
I'm wrong.
His Teflon cover only goes so far, I think, is what you're saying. I mean,
exactly.
We're still a good bit out from an election. I know you have a by-election, obviously, coming up. Mr. Pincher's seat looks like it might be a subject of a by-election in itself. Mm. I mean, we're told that the Tory party are very hard-nosed, they're transactional, there's no sentiment, there's no emotion. They pick somebody who's going to win, who's a vote-getter. I mean, if that's the calculus, which one of these candidates do you think, just strip out the ideology and the ERG and the purity about Brexit and all that, when they look at these candidates, who's the one that they say, well, that's a vote winner, that person, whatever else you might think about them, sort of Boris but without the controversial bits?
I think it's hard to say, because they put Theresa May in, and I know she ended up being there slightly by default because of various people falling by the wayside, but you know, Theresa May wasn't an obvious vote winner by any means, and then she proved that in her disastrous 2019 election campaign. So I think actually that was the moment that swung the pendulum firmly towards Boris Johnson, because this terribly nervous sort of flinty woman who wouldn't show her emotions and said the most exciting thing she'd ever done was run through a wheat field when she'd been told she shouldn't.
Her dancing was pretty good now, be fair.
She wouldn't last 5 minutes in Ireland when she did the wheat fields. But she, you know, she was never a vote winner. And I think that awful election campaign for her did swing the pendulum in favour of a character like Boris Johnson. But I think we have seen that the pendulum needs to swing back a little. And so that does leave room for the Nadeem Zahawis of this world, for the Ben Wallaces of this world, even for the, you know, let's tell you what we haven't mentioned is the former Health Secretary and the man who stood against Johnson in the leadership campaign last time around,
Jeremy Hunt,
yeah. has made it clear that he would be interested. So, you know, we'll see. I wouldn't rule him out. Yet.
I think you're actually you're so frightened at the idea of Liz Truss that you're just avoiding even mentioning her, hoping she'll disappear. But well, the bookies have her in very instead.
I know they do. I know, but you know who she reminds me of? This might be a reference too far. But anyone listening who loved Coronation Street in the 70s and 80s, Mavis Riley.
Okay. I thought you were going to say Ina Sharples or something. But
no,
yeah.
no, it's not as bad as Ina Sharples. No, that's me. I'll leave you with that. And your listeners and callers can decide.
Yeah, because we're over this side of the Irish Sea, we're pretty uncomfortable with Prime Minister Johnson already. So telling us we're going to be catapulted into further difficult times. Yeah, we've already had a guest on earlier who said Boris Johnson might cut off the gas to Ireland this winter coming. So, you know, we're kind of a bit tender about the whole relationships with the British political establishment.
Over.
Yeah, please
I'll
do.
Liquidised
LNG. Yeah. Okay, Sheila Fogarty, who is a presenter with LBC, thanks for bringing us up to date on something that is literally just breaking in the last few minutes, and we'll bring you up to speed for the rest of the programme as we move along. But up next is whether the beloved fish and chips are on the way out.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.